Idiotville is a mature podcast. We sometimes touch on adult themes and use adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, idiots. It's another episode of Idiotville. I am your host, Marty Balake, and we are now on episode 126, and I am joined in studio by Ted Brogan.
Greetings, my fellow Iriolas. I have one very important piece of news before we start the show. Drop your ballots off at the Dropbox. Don't mail it in. It's too late.
And also joined in studio by Brent and Liberty.
Hey, what'd you say your name was again?
I believe that is Bartholomew Balakas.
Balaka.
Balaka.
Marty Balaka.
Marty Balaka.
You should just switch it to Marty Balaka.
Marty
Balaka.
No. Not at all. What's the N stand for?
The N stands for no other teams are undefeated in the NFL beside the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sucks, guys, doesn't it?
That's
pretty good for me.
Yeah, it does suck. Might as well just can the NFL at this point.
No, it's pretty much all I have in my entire life. Please don't do that.
It's the only thing you have going. Yes. No, I'm sure there's more than that. No, all I wanted to say is actually this is my 52nd episode, so I've officially been on the podcast for 1 year now. I just wanted to say thank you guys for allowing me to join. Thanks for having me. It's been a blast. If it ever doesn't seem any fun with me being here, or if I don't seem like I'm having fun, get me the hell out of here, okay? Because every day, every week that we do this, it's a blast. I enjoy hanging out with you guys, and no, I really appreciate it.
Brent, yeah, we haven't been having fun with Jake in a long time, but he just doesn't get the hint.
Yeah, he just keeps showing up. Like, check out my man bun. But no, we're done with the man bun. Get rid of it soon, dude. So
it's nice putting these things in just to see if he listens when he's not here.
I know. Right? I know. Like, no. Hey, guys, why the hell did you say that about me? So,
Marty, it's been cool having you.
No, I appreciate it. Again, thank you, everybody. That goes out to everybody that's part of the podcast. So, again, thank you very much. So we are joined in studio by a special guest. Brent, why don't you tell us a little bit about our guest?
Well, much like the rest of us, she's watched what's been going on in the south part of the 16th District of PA for quite some time. A couple of years ago, we thought finally we might have vanquished the beast that is the ultimate enemy of the Idiotville podcast. But unfortunately, Death himself rode up on a pale horse named White Mike Kelly and promised us sand. And then that day, we were promised 2 more years of Mike Kelly. Well, we've all been looking for that hero. And little did we know, that hero was in a classroom this entire time. Ladies and gentlemen, the Joan of Arc of Erie, Pennsylvania, Christy Ganibas. Thank you for joining us, Christy.
Wow, that's the best intro I've ever had. So thank you.
Pretty much my only skill. Now they send me out.
It's the best intro he's ever given.
Wow. I feel very honored. So thank you.
In front of the mirror.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Well, yes. I'm glad to be here.
Very nice.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome. So, Christy, I've been really looking forward to having you on and talking to you about what it's like to be a real normal person running for Congress. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's what it's like. It's wild. It's, you know, and nobody can really describe it until you do it yourself. Every day is something new. You're doing things that you never thought you would be doing. And it doesn't always make sense, but I've learned so much. And every day it's just more and more important to do this.
Doesn't always make sense. Sounds like it's going to be real good practice if you end up serving in Congress.
Absolutely.
So nice. Well, if we learned anything, you don't have to make sense to be the congressperson.
Wow. Yeah. It's wild.
All right. So, Christy, you are straight off the Wikipedia page. Christy is a single mom, a cancer survivor, relationship abuse survivor. I hope you don't mind me saying. Mm-hmm. I think you've been pretty public with that. So hopefully that's all right. Mm-hmm. And first in your family to attend college.
Mm-hmm.
Have an education degree, a principal certification, and going for your PhD in leadership from Gannon University.
Correct.
Sounds like a lot so far. Mm-hmm. Teacher, a big sister,
mm-hmm.
a bartender, an Uber driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I already mentioned a mother. Why would you ruin that life of tranquility by running for Congress?
Well, it's interesting, tranquility. No, I've always been incredibly busy in my life. And this is just a new busy. And it's a busy that hopefully will put me in position to serve others. And that's always been a goal of my life. That's why I'm a teacher. That's why I do the Big Sister and the Big Brother, Big Sister program. And nothing is more selfless than being a parent. So, I mean, all of these are practice for this type of position. So I am willing to give all of that up to hopefully help other people, because I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to work incredibly hard, multiple jobs, to not have insurance when you have cancer. I know what it's like, you know, to have to make decisions between paying for a medical bill or paying my mortgage or my rent. And I think we need more real people running for office so they can make decisions and actually know what it's like, so they can be more relatable and they can say, I can understand that. And so I'm honored to do it. And I know it's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it.
How do you find you seem like a very motivated person. How do you find that? Because sometimes, I mean, I just want to play video games and lay on the couch.
I've never been that person. I think I actually get yelled at by my friends and family all the time that I need to just like relax. I have a hard time figuring out how to do that most of my adult life. I think being diagnosed with cancer at 20 has changed my outlook. And ever since then, I've just been running. I've never really slowed down. And when I do have to slow down, I actually feel uneasy. So when I don't have a lot going on in my life, that's when it makes me, you know, feel the worst. So doing a lot feels good for me. People try to change that, but I don't like it. I like doing a lot all the time.
That's something I think I want to dive into a little more if we can. What diagnosis of cancer at age 20, can you just talk a little bit about what that's like in the moment? You're 20 years old, what's going on in your life and how that impacted you?
Sure. I don't think that I really comprehended what it meant at 20. I don't think until even the past few years that I really understand it until, you know, I understood it until now. In that moment, I was like most 20-year-olds. I was, you know, having a blast in college. I was doing well, but I was having fun. I loved being there. I loved, you know, socializing. And in like most 20-year-olds, you're a bit self-centered. And I was more like, how is this going to interfere with my life? I wasn't thinking about anything really outside of that. And then quickly I had to be like, okay, well, how am I going to survive? And then it just, you know, things changed pretty quickly.
No kidding. And so I imagine as someone who's not independently wealthy, the cancer diagnosis, that hits you pretty hard, probably in the wallet as well. Like, was it hard to... like financially, to be going to school and going through all that?
So this actually shocks a lot of people. And the answer to that is actually no. I struggle more now with my medical bills than I did then. And the reason being, when I first was diagnosed, I was on my mother's insurance. We met the deductible pretty quickly. There's three of us on her insurance. And she had insurance through the post office. She worked at the post office. Pretty good insurance. When I gave birth to my daughter, I... was quickly kicked off without insurance. I just held off any type of treatment until I could get insurance. And then once I did, I was on Medicaid. And Medicaid actually was very comprehensive and helpful to me. I was able to get the care that I needed. And so I was able to focus on taking care of my daughter and school and not so much on my medical bills. It's actually after I got off Medicaid that insurance became incredibly difficult. And healthcare bills became really difficult to navigate.
Sure, no kidding. So you mentioned, I think, getting kicked off your insurance. So that would have been, help me out, would that be like pre-Obamacare days?
Yes, it was before that, yes. So there's nothing.
Nothing, so you're
there.
Just out in the cold and it's just like it's all on you. So that's probably, that's something that Obamacare would have taken care of and that maybe that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, you know, the ACA protects people. It gives these options if you don't qualify for Medicaid to make it more affordable. I mean, there's many options.
So you would have been on the exchanges probably, on an Obamacare exchange, on a state exchange, and probably had like subsidies or something to help out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if you're not on Medicaid or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So I'm reminded now of like, don't kill me, but I'm thinking of the Donald Trump 2016, like when he's at the convention and he's saying, Like, I know the system better than anyone else. That is why I alone can fix it, was the line, I think, or something to that effect. And I think the point he was trying to get across was like, you know, he has screwed people by working the system, and now he's going to be an asshole for us, right?
That's what he should have ran on.
You know, well, it was like, I could get into this whole thing, and we're not going to talk about Donald Trump on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
wait to read the shit so the president says. Yeah, it's fine. On Mondays.
Good enough. But, you know, it strikes me that you were kind of coming at this from another angle. It's like you have been on Medicaid. You have been struggling paycheck, you know, like living a little bit paycheck to paycheck, trying to get by. And by your experience with these programs, I think that's – I don't have any research on this, but I imagine that's something that very few people in Congress have direct experience with. Would that be right?
Absolutely. And that's actually some of the reason that I'm here, running for this particular seat, is I wrote down all of the things in my life that were affected by government, and the majority of them were federal programs. So, I benefited from WIC. I benefited from, SNAP food. I benefited from Medicaid while I was finishing up my degree. Without those programs, I'm not sure if I would be here, especially without the healthcare. After, creating this list and seeing that, okay, I have a lot of actual hands-on, in-depth experience with these programs, my experiences are my expertise. And I think that's so incredibly important, especially when you're talking with folks in the district and somebody says, hey, I need help with this program and that program. I could be like, I understand, I've been there. I know how hard this is, or I know how to navigate it. So,
okay, so I love that way of looking at things, but I do see when it comes to the, congressional races, or especially when people get in there, that sort of beginning is used against a lot of people. How do you plan, if you are in there, to combat that?
Yeah, I look at the government as, kind of like guide rails, for society. There, the point of government has, there's many things, of course, to protect us, but is also to kind of be that buffer. And it's I use government for exactly what it's supposed to do, which is give me that hand, not a hand out, a hand up. I didn't abuse it. I think the majority of people actually don't. I could not wait to get off assistance. I remember standing in line, and this is something I'll never, ever forget. I was standing in line at the grocery store at Wegmans. I actually worked at Wegmans. And I was cashing out. And whenever you have WIC, it takes a little bit of extra time for you to cash out. They have to check every item. They have to call a manager over to get it approved. And I remember being made fun of by the people behind me in line. And I was just crying. And I remember thinking, I just don't want to be this person anymore. I can't wait to graduate. I can't wait to be a teacher. Because you're looked at as if you're a lesser of a person because you're getting any type of help.
And I understand that. I know I had my son pretty young, and so we kind of went through the same thing. I definitely remember being in those lines and dealing with that. Is there ever a part of you that just like thinks, man, I hope those people are like seeing my picture on like billboards now. I hope they see my t-shirt and realize how misguided they were.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I doubt they remember me, because I assume if they do that type of stuff, they've done that to hundreds and hundreds of other people. But I hope people can see the success that government can be. And that's really another reason for running, is so that people can start believing in government again, because government can be great. It can really do a lot of great things for so many people and put people in a better place. I'm working on my PhD and I'm running for Congress. Like, I never would have guessed I would be in this position, and I wouldn't be in this position if it wasn't for that assistance.
That's something I feel really strongly about. It's like, you hear so many people that are just kind of like, they describe themselves as like anti-government. And I always want to say like, well, but you're not an anarchist. Right. Like, obviously, like, anti-government to me says like no government, like anarchy in the streets. Right. And that's not what anybody means. And I just it's helpful, I think, to talk through these examples to really like bring it home for people who might not otherwise think about it so in depth, that like when we say government, like, this is what we're talking about. This is helping someone who now, look, is going to be paying taxes in a successful person and paying it forward.
So. That's one thing I like about your candidacy there, is you just laid it all out there that, hey, I have benefited from this and now I want to pay it forward. Mm-hmm. It is that hand up, not hand out. But, as he was saying, there are a lot of people that they want to kick down. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those same people are the same ones that need the hand up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you break through that cognitive dissonance to get them onto your side? Because you're telling their same story.
You know, I think even though I had a lot of help, right, I was able to navigate the system, which, by the way, is not easy to navigate, to get assistance. We need to look at the root of the issue to prevent it in the first place, right? You know, one way or another, you know, taxes go towards these programs. So how can we prevent folks from needing these programs? That's improving healthcare. That's improving the cost of education and the accessibility of education. That's investing in our communities. You know, I'm not sure I would need some of these same assistances if legislation was different. And I was able to get healthcare through a different avenue, like, you know, the ACA or perhaps someday a system where everyone has, you know, access to healthcare the same. I don't know that I would need this if I had more job opportunities that paid me a livable wage. I was working at Wegmans, which a lot of people, you know, praise as being this fantastic place. And it was, but I was making $8 an hour, raising a family and going to college. Like, I you know, so yes, the government is there to help us, and but it's really there to also guide us and to prevent a lot of these issues. So, you know, it's kind of a double sword, but it's I mean, this is an issue that certainly is solvable. I know it is.
So fast forward to now.
Mm-hmm.
You're running for Congress against someone who's, I'll say, like, independently wealthy, or like, which so much I feel like of running for political office is the money, the fundraising race, right? You know, I haven't bothered to check. I'm sure you're at a financial disadvantage running against a 10-year incumbent. What's that? What's it like? What's it like to run for office against somebody like that?
It's incredibly difficult, but that doesn't mean it's not worth it. And that doesn't mean that I can't win. We've seen, you know, even in 2018 and in 2016, folks that are everyday people beat these incredibly wealthy incumbents. And people are looking for a real voice. And so it is harder. I'm not able to just throw money onto, you know, having tons and tons of mailers. I'm not able to throw money.
And we thank you for that.
I'm actually now looking, you know, back at everything, glad I did not do that. And, you know, and getting on TV was a struggle. We worked so hard. So it meant so much more to us when we were able to get on TV.
In what way is it hard? Just like dollars or logistics or?
No, dollars. Everything is dollars. You know, buying TV time, producing a commercial, you know, everything costs so much money. And, you know, I am just a teacher. I did throw some of my own money into this, but at the same token, I have to take care of my family. And so I'm relying on grassroots donations. So I'm relying on like a $5 donation from you and a $10 donation from you and a $30 donation from you.
It should probably be $5 from me. I'm not very wealthy.
I was going to say, we should have mentioned at the top of the show, just like for full disclosure, like I donated like what little bit I had under the couch cushions to the campaign.
Yes, I was going to say I donated to the campaign. I believe Dill Spears donated to the campaign. And
I did, yes.
Yes, I believe. So I believe we all did.
I hope you spent our combined $40 wisely.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody who would be listening to Idiotville that we're not fans of Mike Kelly.
Right.
We're definitely going to support you.
I gather that.
Yeah, I don't believe that's a huge surprise here.
No, but you know what? That saying, let me get it right. Many hands make light work, or is it something like that? Yeah, I mean,
it works.
Yeah, something like that. That's the new saying, if it's not a saying. So getting a lot of little dollars from a lot of folks really adds up. And that's what we did. I mean, our average donation is less than like 30 some dollars. And we've been able to raise over, you know, I think we're hitting like, oh, I mean, we're over half of a million.
That's awesome.
And I think that's pretty incredible. I'm, you know, going up against somebody that has, you know, over a million in the bank, but for just his campaign, I mean, he's worth much more than that. So I'm really proud of that.
I mean, a few things here. I kind of am fascinated with just that part of campaigning, the getting the name out and everything. First of all, you kick ass on Twitter.
Oh, thank you.
I definitely seen this before where there'll be like somebody that's from the other side of the country. It sees the, you know, the daily dumb thing that Mike mm-hmm. Kelly says, finds something you have and starts blasting that out there. Mm-hmm. That has to be kind of crazy, right?
Yeah. So the cool thing about Twitter is I'm definitely more sassy on Twitter than any other of the social media platforms because Twitter, even though I do have some following in the district, a large part of my following is just all over the country and some of it all over the world. So I can, you know, let down a little bit of my guard and not worry about, well, will people like it? You know,
that sounds like a sneaky way to even get some donations from outside the district, maybe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. All right.
I think it's a much stronger move because sure. there's other more plastic congressmen out there that definitely just, hey, the president said this thing, and I think it's awesome.
It's not plastic. He's a person of color. He's white, all right?
It's a person of Botox.
White's a color. Speaking of, you're running in a pretty heavily Republican district. I don't know. I forget what, you know, there's people that have these metrics that will tell you like exactly what the handicap is on the district. And they'll tell you, I think this one's 8 or 9 or something. In 2018 was like a very Democratic year. Mm-hmm. I think nationwide, Dems won the nationwide vote by something like 9%. Ron DiNicola was going up against Mike Kelly and lost by something in the neighborhood, like 4 points, I want to say.
Yeah, like a little over 3.5. Mm-hmm.
So, yep. And I know you shouldn't probably do this, but I'm just doing the math, right? So Dems won by 9, he lost by 4.5. Mm-hmm. That's how are you going to make up that gap?
Yeah, so a few things that we did. I announced much earlier than he did. He didn't announce his candidacy until the spring of the actual election. I announced in October of the prior year, but I knew I was running actually in that summer. So all summer long, I was going to all the county fairs. I was introducing myself to tons and tons of folks down in the southern part of the county.
Before you even announced?
Before I even announced. I told you, you can do that as long as you're not collecting money, and I did not. And I was telling folks I was exploring the run, because I was. You know, I was seeing if I would be received well. I was telling them my story, telling them why I was running. And I got all of the different chairs, Democratic chairs, to be 100% on board before I even did it. And that was really helpful because I think the thing is, you know, listen, we got to win eerie handedly, like well, but we also have to close some of the margins in those other counties.
And I guess this is probably a good point for anyone who's not familiar with the district. Like it's what, Erie County, Warren County?
It's Crawford. Yeah, Mercer, Lawrence, Butler.
Would you like me to turn around?
You got a tattoo of the thing on your back?
Yes, he tattooed it on his.
There.
Yeah,
oh,
there
look
you
at
go.
You, Marty Balaka.
I crushed it.
And I went in, yeah, alphabetical order, but yes. yeah, so Butler, Crawford, Erie, Mercer, Lawrence. Yeah.
I thought you said you traveled in alphabetical order. Like, why are we going back through Crawford to get to Erie and then back through Mercer? That is just terrible decisions.
No, very weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that is going to be a huge help to us, creating those relationships very early on in the southern part of the district. I don't feel like they felt they knew Ron. You know, he's a successful lawyer, you know, Muhammad Ali's lawyer. He's Hollywood. You know, I went down. I'm a teacher. I come from a rural community. I've lived a life much like so many people here in PA16. And I think that's what's going to help me down there.
Great.
Yeah, that's one thing that I have noticed is, you know, since following you on social media, you're always like, oh, I'm down there. So it's always down there. Mm-hmm. I like that strategy. How do you feel? I mean, you feel you probably have a strong support in Erie County to the point where you didn't have to do as much there. How is it balancing all that?
It's really tough because, you know, I had some folks go, well, when are you going to come to Erie? And I'm like, yo, I like sleep here every night. Yeah. I live here. My kids go to school here. You know, this is where I'm at. I'm here now. My campaign office is here. You know, that part is tough. But yes, and there's so many other campaigns going on here that they're kind of helping with that. Right. So why, you know, why double down on something that's already being done? I mean, Erie is getting so much attention for being a bellwether for the presidential. So, I mean, it is important. I live, I breathe, I love Erie. I live, you know, I will likely live hereafter. But I think those other parts of the district really need attention and they deserve it. And because I think for a long time that they've not been given the attention that they need and deserve.
That's actually kind of a weird question. We just assumed that we were all the way up here and Mike Kelly wasn't paying attention to us. So he's not giving the attention to them either.
No. I mean, people in like Mercer and Lawrence don't even know who Kelly is.
That's funny.
If it's like a direct reach where he happens to be sitting, then he'll be, yeah.
That's just so funny. That never even occurred to me. Like, I assumed like, oh, he's not from Erie. He just doesn't come up here. Oh, he just likes to hang out down south. You said it was like a 50-50 split basically, right? Between D.C. and your home district. Yes. And he's not going anywhere. Like, what is he doing with his time? Just like raising money and selling cars?
Yeah.
With open safety recall?
I don't know. Golfing, you know, hanging out with DT. I don't know. You know, when we talk about drain the swamp, I mean, Mike Kelly is the swamp. He went to DC and forgot about us. And he spends too much time being a politician and less time being a representative.
But he's passed so much legislation, right? He's been there for 10 years and he's passed a ton of bills into law and he's really worked to change things for the better legislatively. Is that right?
No. I hate the sarcasm. I don't know how that translates on podcast, but that was a huge lie. No, he's only sponsored a handful of bills that have even made it, you know, past the Senate, and only two of them have become law, and they were to rename buildings. So he's renamed two buildings. That's it.
Did he name them after Mike Kelly?
No, but I mean, might as well. Yeah.
So, I mean, you kind of have to. You have like a real strategy. You told us what you're about. You've been going down there meeting people all the time. Mike Kelly's strategy seems to be like, look at me with my buddy Trump and see how much me and Trump love each other. If you're voting for Trump, you might as well vote for me. It's going to resonate with some people.
Sure. But you know what? What a shame that is. And I even tell Trump voters that are willing to cross that line, because there are some. And I say, you know, independent thinkers, right? We all want to be deemed an independent thinker. Is Mike Kelly an independent thinker? What is he doing outside of what Donald Trump is doing? And what is he doing for PA 16? And then let's review what that is.
What
and
original it's not much. Thought has he had ever in 10 years? I can't think of anything that he's...
Ignore the safety recall.
I mean, he just combated, you know, Obama at the beginning of his you know, years. And now he is just riding along with Trump. He's not able to think outside of the box, and he's not able to think for us. And that's what this job is. And I get asked all the time, are you going to vote just party line? Are you going to just be, you know, those people deem you like, if you're a Democrat, you're a Pelosi puppet. Like, listen, I've never met her. Two, like, my goal is to always look through this through the lens of what's best for the people here in Pennsylvania 16.
It's not team sports for you. Like, you're not like batting seventh for the Democratic Party, right?
No. Yeah. It's for me, again, it's just what is best for the people here of PA 16, because that's what's the most important thing. That's the job, representative.
Go ahead. Yep. And that's exactly what we need. So for now, we're going to take a break. We're going to get into the beer segment. We'll be back after the beer segment with more with Christy Ganevitz. Wow, I really blew that one, didn't I? Hey, Brent.
What the hell do you want?
I don't know. What are we doing here? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's called the beer segment.
God, you fucked that up.
I don't think intentionally.
Nah.
The beer segment.
Nice try.
Thanks, Jake. Thank you for that.
Playing the role of Jake News.
Well, this one we have today, it has a sweet can. It has Shark Tooth on it from Land Before Time.
Shark Tooth.
Yeah. All right, you keep.
What is it called? Marty Balake.
Pseudo soup?
Really?
Pseudo soup, pale ale.
Sound it out. P is silent.
Sorry, I have that public school education.
Yes.
Gets you every time.
I went to the fourth best college in Erie County, so this is what we learned.
So I'm going to read the blurb on the back. It says, this single hop pale ale showcases the Citra hop for a well-balanced beer that is delicate in body with a mild bitterness in the finish. Ferocious hop aromas of citrus and mango give a refreshing taste that is bright enough with just enough bite. So, and this one's clocking at 5.8%, so nothing to rock your fancy.
But that's good. I appreciate you doing that.
You know what? We can take a break every now and then.
I fell asleep in the parking lot last time.
What were we drinking last week?
I don't remember what it was.
Oh, no, it was Phase Converter because it did not convert, or yeah, whatever.
It didn't convert Jake.
Yes, whatever.
Yeah.
whatever Jake said, this AC to DC bullshit that he fed us afterwards.
Yeah. We had a nice conversation about Tesla afterward. He drops Tesla into every conversation that he can.
It's like he read an article about it, and it's the only article he's read for a while. Well, you know, that was about works it in.
Yeah, about the hair metal band. From
Jake, we miss
90s.
You when you're not here. I hope he listens.
He flat out admitted he only listens when he's on. Then he said, that's not true.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, it sucks to lose 25% of our listenership every time that he's not on. But, you know, we'll get by.
We will get by.
So what do you think of the beer?
Anybody?
Crisp. Delicious. I like it.
It's not bad.
The dulcet tones of Chrissy Ganibus.
Oh, that was beautiful. Brandon, it's not bad. It's not bad.
It's okay.
It's not bad.
It is an easy drink.
Yeah.
What kind of hops are in it? Anybody know?
Idaho 7. I don't know. I just remember that from last week.
Oh. This single hop ale showcases the Citra hop. Named for the largest T-Rex fossil ever discovered, she roars with ferocious aromas of grapefruit, citrus, mango, and evergreen. Delicate in body with a mild bite in the finish. 50 IBUs, so nothing to... Nothing overly bitter, just enough that you can taste it in the back end.
Yeah, I feel like it's just inside the IPA fence is how I feel with it.
Just a little tiptoe into it, just a little dab.
I like it. I like how it tastes on the front end especially. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's a little bitter on the back, but it's not bad.
Yeah,
I could have a few of these.
I feel like my dad would be like, I still hate this one, but it's closer to my butt heavy.
Closer. Always comparing it to the butt heavy. No, I feel like my own dad would drink this because I told you guys, like, the one I introduced to him to get him into the IPAs was the Sweetwater 420, and I feel like that's real close to it. I know the hop difference is going to be a little bit different, but just real clean. So, but I like it. I've never heard of Toppling Goliath, so when I saw it, I was like, I have to try it.
It's definitely a clean, crisp beer. I'm definitely more of a, like, porter or, like, a dark beer guy. We have a lot of IPAs on here, so I don't usually have a lot to say. This one is, like, less IPA-y than some of them.
IPA.
You mean like this?
That's what I want. Pass it over here.
This is what you want? Is this what you want? What do you is this what you want?
Frangelic Mountain.
I don't know. The way the hops hit on the, like, back end, it's kind of metallic.
No.
Metallic?
Yeah. No.
I get, that's what I'm getting. Because of, like, the fact that you had blood work done, maybe, like...
Yeah, I think you're tasting the iodine contrast.
It's a little anemic today.
Like, but I get what you're saying sometimes.
There's a little bite.
Yeah, you're right. Now that I'm thinking about it.
It makes me have to pee a little bit, too. Wait, are we still talking about the iodine contrast?
Oh.
That warm sensation that you get?
I wonder if there's, like, a correlation with people, genetics or with personality or with what kind of beer they prefer.
Ooh, that's, like, that's right up your alley, Marty Balakke. What do you have to say about that?
Famed geneticist, what, Marty Bedlocke. What do you think of this?
What are you kind of throwing shit my way now? All right.
I didn't want to take it, but if there's anyone who knows why people like different beer, I'm looking at you.
I think it is a genetic thing. I mean, you know, everybody's palate's different. You know, I can't...
Taste buds?
I can't tell if Christy would like this IPA or the New Trail Hazy that we've been drinking, I think, for 8 consecutive weeks, or if she'd rather have... Maybe she gets more flavor out of a Bud 55. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's somewhat...
The look on her face when I said that. But everybody's different, though. You know what I mean?
Well, socioeconomics plays into it, you think, too.
Well, that's... Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to try more stuff. Like, I would have hated this when I was 22 years old. But I also couldn't have afforded it.
That's what I was getting ready to say. We couldn't afford it. We were stuck with drinking Miller Lite all the time, so we didn't know any different.
Yeah, but if you can't afford any different, and then you finally get one, you're like, oh, this is what everybody's been talking about, and you're not ready for that hot party. You're going to be like, what the hell is wrong with everybody?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. My introduction to IPAs after drinking Miller Lite and Busch Light all the time was Hop Devil by Victory.
Ooh, that's a tough one to jump into.
Yeah, okay. And it took me like an hour and a half to 2 hours to drink it, like just a 12-ounce bottle. How's your beer over there? I'm like, it's okay.
It's kind of like your first cup of coffee, though, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I did not like coffee. I actually don't know if I do like coffee, if it's more of just a thing I do now.
It's for closers. So.
It's just like a food group for me, yeah. Too. I wouldn't know what to do without it. You know, I'm thinking of, like, Marty Balakke as our resident beer expert, and I keep forgetting that we have a bartender, an eerie bartender, and like a beer connoisseur across the table yourself.
Yeah.
When did you get into IPAs? Was it like when you started working?
It was not right away. So when I first started bartending, I did not really love craft beer, but you know, you're not allowed to say that because that's what you serve. And then after I started tasting it, it was kind of, you just start to realize that there's so many options out there, and then it kind of gets exciting. And so you start to enjoy all the different kinds of beers, and then I think your palate does kind of change.
Mm-hmm.
I developed a liking for IPAs. I like that a little bit of a bite. I like the filtered ones. But I like the unfiltered, but I like the filtered ones more. I like a crisper taste. And I think that was developed over time, for sure.
Nice.
That makes sense.
Yeah, there were a lot of beers out there that were doing the West Coast style, so that's very clean and crisp in flavor and texture, and then all of a sudden you get this New England IPA, aka the East Coast IPA, which is actually what it's traditionally called, and they start throwing in all these citrusy flavors and aromas and things like that. So
becomes an arms race. But I like it because there's more to it. You know that's what I like. I like the journey on the beer.
Yeah. Now, where's this beer from?
This is from Iowa. Decorah, Iowa.
It's not from Williamsport?
It's not from Williamsport. It's up near Buffalo.
Oh, that's right. I blew that one, didn't I?
Yes. Decorah, Iowa is apparently in the northwest corner of Iowa.
Well, hot shit.
Yeah.
So it is.
I don't really know much about it. Like, what's from Iowa? Slipknot?
Corn and the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I don't know much about Iowa.
And other breweries.
Oh, yeah. Dill Spears was born in Iowa.
Oh, that's right. We didn't mean to forget about Dill Spears.
Yeah, that and our fearless leader. Yeah, that those are our Iowa things. And this beer. I don't know.
I wouldn't drive to Iowa for it, but I like it. It's a good beer.
If I'm driving through Iowa and somebody's giving it out, I'll take it.
While you're on the road?
That doesn't actually say a lot. If it's free, I'll take it.
The roads are very flat. They're very lax on drunk driving there.
Oh.
People out with...
You have to fact check that. False.
That, I mean, we all have the lane assist and stuff now. No, all you have to do is put your hand on the freaking wheel and floor it, and you'll be where you need to go. So
your guys' cars don't have autopilot?
It does feel like autopilot.
That's to say, and it'll slow down when you get like 40 feet within a vehicle right in front of you, which is weird.
That too.
That's going to go up on the Patreon. We got to have like an Idiotville, like Dumb and Dumber road trip someday, right?
You should not condone drinking and driving.
Never. It'll just be Brent and Liberty driving through a cornfield at night.
Not again. In a good way.
Yeah, it would be the first time, right?
All right. Well, I mean, I did grow up in Sayertown. That's how you got anywhere.
That's true.
Yeah.
Through the cornfield.
Yes.
I grew up in Wattsburg.
Ew, you hick.
Oh, my God. No.
Accurate. I don't know. I'm not going to argue with that. I've been trying to tell people that for quite a long time because that, I think, adds to my appeal.
Well, if she's a hick, what does that make me from being from Athens?
Well, that's third world America. We've discussed this.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That is third world America. Yeah. Thank you, Joe Burrow, for helping broadcast all of that.
We're just glad you climbed out of the depths of Athens to make it to Erie, PA.
Great. Still
do you look, feel fancy every look, time you eat off a table instead of a ditch?
I do. Whenever I can actually do laundry in a washer instead of using a couple of pieces of limestone.
Is it weird to not have the jug band when you're doing everything around the house?
Is it time to do the ratings on the beer?
Yes. It is.
Four.
Oh.
Thank you. Short and sweet from Ted Brogan.
Slingshot right into it.
Okay. So,
all right, refresher. Ratings from zero? 0 to 5?
0 to 5.
Average beer is 2.5. Sorry, take it away.
Oh.
I didn't mean to step on you there.
No, you're not stepping on me. I mean, you can sit on me if you want.
Marty Balake.
Yeah.
Don't tell my
quarter
wife.
Points. We round up or down depending on what makes everybody angrier.
Jake's not here, so we round up.
We just round the closest.
Yeah, we'll just round the closest. So on a scale of 0 to 5, I'm going to give this a 3.5. Just under recommended.
I'm giving it a 3, just over average.
Oh, man, I like this more than you guys.
It didn't do too much for me.
I felt like
but
I
it's
wasn't,
a beer. I'm enjoying it. I'm happy to be drinking a beer. And I'm with my buddies, and we're all happy. Christy's here. It's a good day. So it's a 3.
It's just, like, occurring to me that, like, it takes a lot for me, apparently, not to recommend a beer. Like, if I'm drinking it, like, it's hard for me. There's not a lot of bad beer, legitimately bad beer in my mind, right? Mm. If I'm drinking it, I think you should drink it too. So, 4.
So, if I give you a Stroh's and you're drinking it, you'll give it a 4?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stroh's all day definitely. Long. Yep, 4.
I used to have a really sweet hat that cautioned Stroh's power.
So, we've always used Dulacan as like the standard for a 4, which is recommended.
Yeah,
so,
I
kind of think of a Dulacan, and whenever we get a crisp IPA like this, and then kind of use that to gauge what I think
good,
of this
that's
beer.
That's a good gauge. I would go with 3.5 too, because Dulacan's a bit better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you say Dulacan?
Well, he apparently thinks it's right on par with Dulacan.
I gave Dulacan over that.
Okay, well, then you're
I think I did. I'm always bringing up the curve.
I gave it a 10.
Tan.
This one goes to 11.
Well, good movie to reference. I like it. So it's actually going to average out to a 3.5.
So
we haven't had a non-recommended beer for a while.
It's because we've been getting good ones.
We have been getting good ones.
But this one's still not bad. It's not bad at all. No.
Well, now I feel like, oh, gosh, I better finish this and try something else. I can't be here and have a non-recommended beer. This is awful.
What a horrible experience. She's never coming back now.
Well, I mean, even if it was recommended, I was going to finish this and drink something else. So
here we go.
Yeah, usually we supplement the beer segment beer with something even better, such as Busch Light, Coors Light, Miller Light.
Oh,
the
real top shelf stuff. It got pretty bad here. We're like wheeling quarter kegs in here, and finally they're out front. We're just like, guys, please, seriously, we're running a business. I mean,
we tame it down a little bit. Just a little bit.
That's too funny.
Okay, so on that note, yeah, we're going to give this a 3.5 out of 5. Again, this is a Toppling Goliath Pseudo Sue IPA, single hop IPA.
Has shark tooth on it.
Cool. That's a cool part.
Mm-hmm.
You guys should rate the can.
Oh, this is definitely like a 4.5 can.
Yeah. Can art adds to the appeal. I mean, that's what people, a lot of times people buy the beer because of the art.
Including me, because I'm a child.
And the one beer that we always talk about is from Thin Man.
Thin Man.
Is it Williamsport?
Yeah. No, it's Buffalo, isn't it? Isn't it Buffalo? Okay, thank you. I was like, wait.
I brought in a Thin Man beer. The whole joke is I accidentally said this one's from Williamsport without even looking at the can. And he just looking at it. He's like, Williamsport? Don't you mean Buffalo?
Running joke.
Okay. Yeah.
So anyhow, how do we end every beer segment?
Fist fight.
More fist fights? This beer just riles you up every time.
Mumbly peg. Anybody got a sharp knife? Put your hand here. Just...
Let's do it.
I don't have any dexterity. I'm not doing that.
Wait a minute. We say beers to you.
That's it.
Really? Way to screw everything up.
Beers to you.
All right, and we're back from the beer segment, guys. Did you like that beer?
Yeah. Sucked. Beer sucked.
Shut up, Jake.
I give it a 4.5. It was like woodchuck. You know, Jake's wife, Jake told me his wife, she'll listen to our show. She hate listens. She's I don't think she's a fan of us, but she's just like, whenever Jake's not there, you guys just bitch about Jake. I'm like, yeah, it's a running joke. It's like what we do.
We don't
actually dislike Jake as a person. I'm sorry if we're sort of breaking the fourth wall there a little bit, but we don't dislike Jake the human being. It's a joke, guys.
We kid because we love.
Yeah. And Jake's wife. It's a joke.
And he also needs to cut off his man bun.
Yeah, that's we're not joking about. That's serious business.
So, but we're back with Christy Gnebus. Christy. During this campaign, there's got to be certain situations that you've enjoyed, you've had fun with, that have sucked. Tell us a couple of things that come to mind, things that were fun, maybe at least one thing that just wasn't so enjoyable.
I always enjoy when I can actually talk to voters. That's the best part. And now that we've finally started doing some like COVID safe door knocking, I love it. It's like a way to like get exercise and also talk to people. And when people meet you, I mean, especially when you're right there in there, you know, they can see you, they're less likely to be rude and they're more perceptive to what you have to say. I actually think it's incredibly effective. The worst part is always raising money. It's dialing for dollars. And if you don't know what that is, it's literally calling wealthy folks and being like, hi, my name is Christy Ganibus. Let me tell you why you should give me money. And that part I've been doing for over a year, and that's the worst.
Can you give me tips on doing that, but just for me not running
through
anything?
No matter what, after I'm just going to call people and be like, hi, I actually don't have a job, but let me tell you why you should give me money.
Christy Ganibus. I'm in between positions right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I want a hot tub, please.
I was going to say, and I follow you on social media, and I noticed that you're very active in being at, you know, out in the public, out at people's doors, mm-hmm. and, you know, having discussions with people and letting them know that what you're for, what you're against, and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we all appreciate that, being active, unlike some other people.
Sure. No, I think showing up is the job title, representative.
Well, and I think this, you know, this campaign season is probably one of the hardest ones ever for someone trying to like break through into, you know, being known mm-hmm. by people in the district. What's the district like, 700,000 people?
Under 700,000, but that's about the threshold. Yeah.
Okay. Right, it's a lot of people to introduce mm-hmm. yourself to. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I guess that was my question, because I mean, going into it, you had some good momentum, and I watched your campaign. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, if she can get out there and get in front of people, mm-hmm. there are a lot of people that are sick of Mike Kelly. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that want to listen to her. And when they find that she has a lot in common with them, it's going to work. But mm-hmm. then the ability to do so was ripped out right from underneath yeah. you. How do you adjust in something like that?
I think I had the advantage of being quite a bit younger than my opponent and a bit more well-versed on social media. So we pivoted very quickly, and we just did a lot of online videos and Zooms, and wherever we could meet voters, we did. So whatever that looked like. So I was on Instagram Live. I would do Facebook Lives. I was sending out tons of emails.
Trust me, I know.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. I'm only kidding. Only a joke.
$5 more. No, we were trying to get in front of anyone we could, and you know, being very transparent. I will say this: I have help. I have hands on deck, but I do manage all of my social media mostly by myself, and that I think is awesome. It's hard, but it makes me way more authentic, because you're literally just talking to me.
Did you have anybody helping you out with the social media, like at the get go, or have you just
I've had friends. I've had friends help me.
Okay.
You know, hey, do this, or you know, this is way more cool. Whatever the case.
I noticed that while talking to you on Twitter, because mm-hmm. instead of, you know, sometimes we try to get people on the show, you could tell it's somebody's representative, but somebody's representative doesn't even be like, I really like IPAs. They don't do that.
Yeah, they know me. No, it's me. Yeah, it's me. So if somebody answers back, it's most certainly me. Facebook, I do share with some of my team, so I do get way more messages on that. We do try to share that burden, but most of the posting, most of the responses, those are me.
So maybe there's going to be less of this in a year where you're not doing as much like door-to-door or face-to-face campaigning. But can you give us like a really weird experience from the campaign trail? Like, what is the most like unexpected thing that's happened since you started running for the seat?
That's hard. I don't know. Everything is weird and unexpected. It's brand new for me. I don't know anything else. So, I mean, I've been a bartender and I'm a teacher. So what's weird? I don't know. Nothing is that weird.
So you're used to seeing people at their worst. Like, and this is no different.
You know what I mean? Like, no, yeah, this is not. And I think, honestly, being a bartender has actually really prepared me for this position. You talk to all walks of life. You talk to them when they're not always their best selves. You talk to them when they're happy. You talk to them when they're down. You overhear so many different conversations, organic conversations, and you get to be a part of that. So I actually think bartending has really prepared me for this position.
One of those things that I know that I learned was killing them with kindness, especially when they were mean.
Yes.
So, and sometimes that just pisses them off the most.
Oh, absolutely. People flick me off and I'm like, peace. Here's the peace sign.
Yeah. Do you get anybody that's aggressive?
only at the presidential level, usually. You know, I have people. I had one person who I think might still work for the Republican Party here in Erie. I'm not sure. I think so. But she messaged me some horrendous things about.
What did Trish Catalano say to you? I'm sorry. We all know who that is. And she sucks.
She called me a demon rat. She hopes I choke on my tongue and die. Cancer should just get me out. Kind of stuff. Awful. And I never responded. And, you know, she even was like, she responded. And people were like, show us the message. She's like, oh, I deleted them. Like, no, you didn't. It's like, it never did. I just, you know, you let that kind of hate just doesn't actually bother me at all because it's just so absurd. So absurd.
That's probably, I mean, that's good. That's healthy because, yeah, you couldn't do it if stuff like that is going to get under your skin, right? That just sounds
I'm sorry, I had no idea who it was, but I guessed.
Wow, it was a great guess.
Well, she sucks. She sucks really bad.
That is incredible.
Not a nice person.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess if she wants to hit up the Idiotville podcast and tell us how much she sucks and make veiled threats, she can. But Trish, somebody get this to her. You suck, and you're a terrible human
being.
Our
DMs are open for people. Our DMs are open. Demon rats.
Please, call us demon rats. Do what you got to do.
That is, yeah,
you're human trash.
Anyway. You know, honestly, I'm more hurt when it's folks I know. And certain things that I've been battling my whole life is, you know, proving that I'm worthy. And so, you know, getting my master's, getting my principal's cert, getting my PhD. And I still have people say she's just some dumb blonde, Minnie Mouse, this and that. Like, I get those kind of comments all the time. And it's like, you know, there's like nothing I can do to make these folks understand that I'm actually quite intelligent and very worthy of this position.
You're just going to have to win the job and start passing some bills.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
So there's a lot of that race, not only against him, but sort of against yourself to prove it. Yeah.
It's not for me at all. You know, I've really developed a lot, to understand that it's not about that anymore, but you know, that's why it hurts the most because, you know, I know that I'm worthy. So I know. It's just getting other folks to finally realize that it doesn't matter gender. It doesn't matter, you know, specifically age. And it doesn't certainly matter your occupation. I'm a teacher. Yes, I'm a bartender. Yes, I'm an Uber driver. I am 100% qualified for this position. And we need more people to believe that because it doesn't actually matter. You can work at Rent-A-Center. You can work at Walmart. You can work in wherever.
I can tell you right now, no, you can't work at Rent-A-Center and expect to get anywhere in life. I can tell you that.
Okay.
Very close to home.
Well, you know, you can work anywhere but Rent-A-Center, apparently. I'm sorry, Rent-A-Center employees.
Yeah, if you're a Rent-A-Center employee, just give up.
Work
now.
Somewhere else, and then we can talk. But,
All right, she got us there.
I wonder if that's going to make the cut. It probably will.
You know, gosh. Okay, well, most people are qualified because everyone has unique experiences that make them qualified. And you do not have to be a lawyer. You do not have to be a business owner. You can be most anything and bring something to the table.
It might actually be a benefit to have some variety in those positions, right?
Absolutely.
That's nice to hear.
I did have a question. So in 2018, we really saw the rise of the female politician, you know, like a lot of AOC, everything like that. A lot of first timers in this, and we feel like they're really filling down ballot. I saw that you were involved with some of like the women in entering politics. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, no. It's so important to have other females lift you up because we're still less than 25%, women in Congress right now. And we make up a little over half of the population. So that's not accurate representation. You know, so it's important to have other female perspective because they've been through this. They know what it's like. They know it's harder to raise money as a woman. They know that it's harder to sometimes place yourself in, you know, a light that is looked on positively if you're a woman, especially if you're a mother. So having females lift me up was really, really important. So I made sure I created some allies.
I think that's one of those things where, you know, win or lose in the race, your face is out there. And, you know, for all the girls, for all like your daughter's classmates or something, they're all seeing that it's possible, right? They're seeing that now that seed has been planted in their minds that when they grow up and, you know, they have whatever hopes and dreams, they that can be among them. And maybe that wouldn't have been something that they otherwise would have dreamt for themselves.
Absolutely. That's probably the best thing. One of the best things for sure.
All right. Before we head into We've given you, this has been easy. It's just been softball after softball. There's some hard ones coming. Uh-oh. But I'm going to start you with this one.
This is the part where she walks out, right?
You have to answer correctly here.
Uh-oh.
What was your Uber driver rating?
Gosh. You know, I think it was like 4.2 when what? I was done.
Wow, that's not good at all.
You know why? I will tell you. There were some ladies that gave me a one star, and I have no idea why. I dropped them off at a party that looked a little unsafe. It made me feel uncomfortable. There's people peeing in the yard, and I was like, "Hey, ladies, please be careful." You know,
I remember that when you dropped off Trish Catalano at our party. I remember that. Yes.
Oh, geez.
And I was being really nice. I was like, it was actually Halloween. And I was like, you know, have a great night, but please, please be safe. And then they gave me one star and it really, really.
How dare she wishes I was safe.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, excuse me, mom. I'm like, oh, yeah.
All right. Next rapid fire question. You can only pick one. Smith's hot dogs, pepperoni balls, sponge candy. What are you going for?
Pepperoni balls.
Oh, winner.
Yes.
It's a winner.
If she said sponge candy, so help me God.
Next question, rapid fire, Marty Balake.
Sponge candy, no way. Can you fold a fitted sheet?
No.
Thank you.
It's just a ball. That you kind of press down into a square.
Ah, screw
shape.
This shit.
The woman of the people. I like that. All right. Let's see. IPA stout or woodchuck?
IPA.
Bingo.
Sorry, Jake. No woodchucks.
You probably have company in this crowd. Not me, but these yahoos.
What was your favorite cartoon to watch as a child?
Ren and Stimpy.
Not a bad choice.
Ren and Stimpy. Kind of a dark horse.
So much stuff to do with litter. I just don't.
So were they eating the litter? What was going on with
they
it?
They lived in the litter. I don't know. It was just a litter box.
Such a great answer.
All right. So next question. Biggie or Tupac?
Biggie, baby, baby.
Oh, my God.
You know what? You already won my vote. I mean.
All right. Let's stay within the music. Backstreet Boys or NSYNC? You're a 90s kid.
Backstreet Boys. Back.
Oh,
You were on such a good run.
Sorry.
That was the wrong answer.
NSYNC was better when they all broke up. Sorry. Truth.
Oh, yeah. That great Lance Bass solo career. Come on, Chris.
You know what? Justin Timberlake makes up for all of it. And I'm sorry. It's just Backstreet Boys all the way. They were better together and NSYNC was better apart.
You know, there's a kid I went to high school with that to this day claims to be the third cousin of Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC.
Oh, my God.
No one needs to claim that.
It's just such a deep cut that you would never even think to challenge it.
Well, I need to get something like that.
Yeah, you got
to. The guy with the goatee from 98 Degrees, I met him once in an airport.
Wow.
Yeah, who's questioning that? Nobody.
Nobody is.
Best TV theme song of all time.
Oh.
You can say Saved by the Bell. It's okay.
No, it's not. The one I'm thinking in my head is not the best one, but it won't get out of my head. So
What is it?
The Friends one.
Oh.
I'll be there. Yeah.
You know what pops in my head? I heard that question for the first time. I'm going Fresh Prince.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's probably the best answer right there.
That gets stuck. That's
what are you thinking?
Too.
It's between three.
Okay.
DuckTales.
Oh, geez.
Gummy Bears and Perfect Strangers.
I like Perfect Strangers.
Oh, that's a good one.
On the wings. Yeah, that's fucking good.
It is good.
That's probably a great place to end it with the
My favorite intro, though, is Dexter.
I liked Sopranos better.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
But speaking of, that was about the worst outro ever when he's a lumberjack. Sorry.
Sure,
everybody.
It is.
God.
It certainly is.
They should have ended that show three seasons earlier.
He should have just died. Yeah.
Did you ever notice that Angel was getting stabbed in at the end of every season? Is he not dead yet?
Gives me hope if I ever get stabbed that I'm like, well, I have 20 left of these.
Yeah. Am I an angel here? Am I going to be okay?
Yeah. I like these questions.
Who was your favorite character on Dexter? And why was it James Doakes, which is the correct answer?
No. I really liked Dexter, obviously.
Okay, so margaritas. On the rocks or frozen?
On the rocks.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And no straw. Salt.
Salt on the rim.
Yeah.
All
absolutely.
Right. Careful with this one. Steelers, Browns, or Bills?
Steelers. Steelers.
Steelers. To the down district.
I am Steelers all the way, and McDowell and James Conner. And I worked with his mom, Kelly Patterson, at Tap House. No, it's Steelers. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
All right. That was a good excuse.
Man.
That was good.
What a great candidate.
You're 16 years old. What store do you go to the mall first?
I didn't really go to the mall as a 16-year-old, so I wouldn't really know. I had to shop at Kmart, so my mom was not like...
You didn't play the game where you'd go with all your friends and you'd have to bring your little brother and you'd just drop him off the other side of the mall?
Spencer's, because you could like buy something for a couple bucks and it was like the dumb keychains that are inappropriate that you have to hide from your parents.
And when you're a kid.
But you're edgy as a kid.
But I'm like, ooh, look at this. Yeah. 420.
Okay, well, we are... all right, then. On that note, we are out of time. Christy, thank you so much for being here. We really enjoyed having you here on the show.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you. Absolutely.
Loved being here.
Maybe after this is all said and done with, you can actually come over, have some casual beers with us. We can go to Lavery and have some other beers.
Your congresswoman.
Yes, well, yeah, as our congresswoman here at the Idiotville Entertainment Complex is what we deem it.
Absolutely.
I want you to give one last pitch to PA16.
Hey, when I am fighting for Pennsylvania 16, I'm fighting for my family. And I'm going to fight for all of you because you deserve it. And we deserve somebody who shows up. So I'd be honored for your vote November 3rd.
Boom.
The fighting 16.
That's awesome. All right. And don't forget to vote. Hopefully we can get this show out a little bit quicker than usual. Just don't remember. Wow. Please remember to at least cast your vote if you haven't done it by mail. Mm-hmm. That is going to be this Tuesday, November 3rd. So for Ted Brogan.
I know we have a lot of non-political or apolitical fans. Thanks for hanging in with us on Politics Month here at Idiotville Podcast.
And for Brent and Liberty.
We hate you, Mike Kelly.
And also.
We love you, Ari.
Thank you. Thank you.
I really hate Mike Kelly.
Thank you. We know. Also for Jake News and for Dill Spears. Can't wait for you guys to come back. I am Marty Balake. And we will see you on Election Day. For my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right. If the head right, Biggie there, A night. Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruce Cruz who? Do something to us. Talk, go through us. Girls want to us, wanna do us. Screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pop. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily. Take that. Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing. So I just speak my piece. Peace, Cubans with the Jesus peace. With my peace, packing, asking who want it. They got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean.